What's up, everybody? This is Will Pruitt with the Lucha Underground audio review for episode 24 of season 2. This is part 1 of Ultima Lucha Dos. Part 1 of 3. We have 2 episodes of Lucha Underground left, and this episode, part 1, was all about Dario Cueto's For a Unique Opportunity tournament. Basically, Dario Cueto took Cage, Willie Mack, Tejano, and Son of Havoc and said, "Oh man, the writers haven't done anything with you all season. Your stories have done nothing. You've done nothing. Well, here's a random thing to fight over." And that random thing to fight over was a unique opportunity from one Dario Cueto. Of course, like all unique opportunities in the Lucha Underground world, we did not get to know what this unique opportunity was for on the in the moment that it was announced. We found out about the unique opportunity and what it was for later. All right, so it was a tournament. First match was Cage versus Willie Mack, and before that match got started, you had Dario Cueto saying, "You guys kicked off last year's Ultima Lucha with a Falls Count Anywhere match. Well, I want tonight to be as violent as last year, so please have a Falls Count Anywhere match." So they had a Falls Count Anywhere match. It was pretty insane what they did. It called back to their match the prior year quite a bit. The cinder block came into play. Quite a few things came into play. The stop sign, things like that. The beer, obviously. Stone Cold Willie Mack made an appearance because that's what he does. There were also piñatas, and that was pretty enjoyable. And this was the Mack defeating Cage via pinfall in 10 minutes and 12 seconds. The pin occurred outside the ring as it looked like Cage was about to curb stomp Willie Mack again into the cinder block. Well, you actually got Cage slipping on beer that had spilled around the ring, and Willie Mack rolling him up for a 3 count at ringside. 1, 2, 3. Pretty good. Definitely a fine match. There was one moment where Mack took a stop sign shot straight to the head, and those things just bug me. And I feel like Lucha Underground, as much as I praise them as a progressive wrestling company, is so regressive when it comes to head trauma in wrestling. It's insane. They do a lot of unprotected chair shots. They do a lot of things that I really wish no wrestling companies did, including Lucha Underground. And they deserve some derision for doing these things, because they do put the health of their performers at risk, and that is never okay. Yeah. Moving on, we got El Tejano Jr. and Son of Havoc in their next match in the Unique Opportunity Tournament. Dario Cueto emerged from his office again and said, "Hey, when I see a biker and a cowboy, what I think of is a bar fight. So there's a bar at ringside, and you're going to have a bar fight." The bar at ringside was a, like, disappointing bar setup. The Lucha Underground Scenic Department did not do much. It was 3 bar stools, some glassware, and some bottles. And they went on to have basically a crazy hardcore match with bottles being broken over each other's heads and things like that. It was fine for what it was. It was action-packed. It was another crazy weapons match, though. And that just kind of starts to annoy me after a little while, especially when you put 2 in a row. This seemed safe. Obviously, the glass used was sugared glass. It was not real. You didn't have a ton of cuts because of it. It was, it seemed safe. There was a cool moment at the very end where Son of Havoc took a large box of glass bottles into the ring, stomped them all, and then double stomped and kicked Tejano into the glass to beat him. That was nice. 7 minutes, 22 seconds, Son of Havoc defeated El Tejano Jr. So, then we got the finals. We got to the finals of this. The Mack versus Son of Havoc. Dario Cueto's like, "I don't know, guys. Falls Count Anywhere again? Sherzies." And the guys went, "Yeah, Sherzies, we got this. Falls Count Anywhere again." So the Mack and Son of Havoc then fought in a Falls Count Anywhere match that honestly was meh. Meh at best. It was slow. It was kind of... It just didn't capture the crowd the same way. People didn't care the same way. It was very not all that enjoyable. Like, it was fine, but you could tell the crowd had seen these guys before. They weren't quite as into this. You'd take them from the high of these two crazy hardcore matches and give them a less crazy, less hardcore match, and people aren't going to get as excited about it. Havoc and Mac tried. Havoc ended up winning this match with the Shooting Star Press on the Mac to earn the victory. So Son of Havoc wins the For a Unique Opportunity tournament. Or does he? Bum, bum, bum. So you, that's kind of the interesting thing. This happened, and, you know, you look at the clock, and it's like, we got like 10 minutes left in this show, or maybe more. So Dario Cueto comes to the ring with Black Lotus, who is towing two briefcases. My man D. Quates says, hey, here's what you get. Either this briefcase with $250,000, or this briefcase with a contract for a Lucha Underground championship shot at Ultima Lucha Trace. Ooh, Son of Havoc looks around. He had to think about it. He didn't know which one he was going to pick, but then he said, Dario Cueto, you could put $250 million in that briefcase, and I would still take the Ultima Lucha Trace title shot. Son of Havoc proving himself to be a mark for the title there. But really, that's fine. In the wrestling storyline, obviously, he should be, and that's exactly the thing you want wrestlers to say. It was a well-scripted thing. Then Dario Cueto says, that's cool. You can have this title shot if you win one more match. And your opponent, if he wins, gets the $250,000. What? Dario Cueto done changed the game. Because that's what he does. He, you know, he doesn't play fair. He likes to incite violence. This was consistent with the Dario Cueto character being an inconsistent figure. If that made any sense. And I think it worked in that way. So Son of Havoc isn't happy. Famous B comes down. Yeah, I know. I'm already like, oh, wait, what? Famous B comes out and introduces the Lucha Libre legend, Dr. Wagner Jr. And Dr. Wagner looks insanely cut. That's pretty crazy. He does not look like Blue Demon Jr. did when he wrestled. He looks buff as F. Buff AF, I should say. This was Son of Havoc trying, but not being able to win. Dr. Wagner Jr. ended up hitting the Michinoku driver and defeating Son of Havoc to take away his victory. This left the crowd in kind of a stunned silence. Like, you don't hear the temple get that quiet a lot, but this left the temple very quiet. You could tell they were really bummed about it because Dr. Wagner Jr. should have been, or should have been an exciting thing, but they get Son of Havoc losing, and these people love Son of Havoc. And then Matt Stryker closed the show and said he would see us next week on Lucha Underground for Ultima Lucha Dos Part Dos. This was fine. It was fine to start things off. I don't think it needed to be a part of Ultima Lucha. I would have put these four guys in the Gift of the Gods title match. I think that would have been a more effective use of them, and you wouldn't have had so much dead weight in that Gift of the Gods title match. Yeah, I'm not super enthusiastic about it and the storytelling, but that's kind of the theme for season two of Lucha Underground for me, is that I'm not super enthusiastic about it. It's not that great at the moment. It's not that special. Side note on kind of this same thing, I watched the TNA Impact, the Final Deletion video, and a lot of people are comparing it to Lucha Underground. Heck, people within Lucha Underground, you have Eric Van Wagen, one of the executive producers, kind of tweeting mean things about TNA for making that. It was different. I definitely see how it is Lucha Underground inspired, but it was a very, very different sort of match, the Final Deletion was. It was a very different presentation of wrestling than even what Lucha Underground brings. And it seems really petty of the people in charge of TNA or the people in charge of Lucha Underground to take shots at TNA in that way, to kind of, you know, it's two wrestling companies that don't make money and aren't profitable and aren't charging admissions to their shows. I mean, they've drawn the same amount of money, I think, in 2016. Yeah, come on. Let's not be jerks here, everybody. Not that drawing money is everything, because it's not. But let's, you know, TNA honestly has probably been a better show in 2016 than Lucha Underground has. And I know that will stun a lot of you listening to this, but that's kind of how down I am on season two and how high I am on Lucha Underground in general, or how down I am on season two of Lucha Underground and how high I am on TNA's creative efforts that have been far more good than they've been bad over the past, really since they started out on Pop TV. Anyways, yeah. So one interesting thing, or a few interesting things also, Matanza has basically just gone missing. Like, they showed clips of the future matches that we're going to get and, you know, hyped the matches that will be part of Ultima Lucha Dos. But Matanza just, he disappeared, I think, after the match with Cage, and he's just not going to be anywhere forever. It's kind of a bummer. It's weird, right? Like, it's a weird storytelling thing. They haven't really done, they just have kind of ignored Matanza not having matches all the time, where the road to Ultima, to the first Ultima Lucha was Prince Puma defending the title and defending the title. You had the all night long match. You had so many great matches from Prince Puma in that run that it's really weird now that Matanza just disappeared and he's not doing anything, but he's still going to main event with Pentagon, who also hasn't ever, he has yet, I mean, they haven't aired the I want that title promo, I was robbed, any of that. Like, they haven't really made you buy into Pentagon Jr.'s journey back either, aside from the 1 week that he returned. So, yeah, they've done a bad job building up Ultima Lucha, which I have discussed. I don't think this show was that great. John Moore seems more enthusiastic about it than I am. This was not my cup of tea in a lot of ways, and I thought that the deflation of the crowd at the end was really kind of awkward and weird. So, yeah, Ultima Lucha Dos, week one. We got 2 weeks left of this. A reminder that 2 weeks from now, I will be joined by John Moore, and he and I are going to sit down and talk about the entirety of this Lucha Underground season. We're going to do kind of a quick review of Ultima Lucha Dos Part Trace, and then we're going to get into it. We are going to talk about the entire season, our thoughts, why it didn't measure up to season one in a lot of ways, and what we hope to see from season three. Anyways, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this audio. I hope you enjoy being a ProWrestling.net member, and I will talk to you again very soon.